I'm so excited to be down here. You all just don't know what in the world to do. I was at my family reunion on yesterday, and so I was supposed to be staying overnight there. That's in Tappahannock, Virginia. But I knew I had to get back home, take care of some things at my church this morning, and then get back down here. And so it's just a good, and it's honorable. And I thank God that I have this opportunity to spend with y'all. I look forward to it each and every summer. And so I've been blessed to come back. And so I thank Kevin and Becky for allowing me, and Mama B, praise God, for allowing me to come back down here and spend this time with you all. It's exciting to me. Amen. Amen. Happy Memorial Day to you all. God is so good, and we are certainly thankful for the veterans who have laid down their lives, those who are still with us, and others who have laid down their lives, that we may share and enjoy the freedoms that we have each and every day. And so we don't take that for granted. We give God praise for all of that. We pray for their families, those who are still suffering the loss of their loved ones, recent and past, as well as those who have loved ones that are over there now. Matter of fact, one of my cousins chimed in by Facebook on yesterday. He's overseas right now, serving our country. So we thank God for him and his brother as they're out there doing what they do, as well as all the others who are in the armed services today. Now, I won't keep you all very long. Again, my name is Todd Sofield. I'm the pastor of In His Glory Christian Ministries in Alexandria, Virginia. My wife normally travels with me, but of course she stayed behind at our church to make sure things are running well there. And so I had it on Facebook Live the whole time this service was going on, just to keep that feed going. A lot of things we do on Facebook Live, because a lot of times people can't get out and get into the church as they used to. And so we make sure we make that feed available to everybody who wants to chime in and watch service from home, or maybe on travel, or whatever the situation may be. We want to make sure the Word of God is out there. Again, I won't keep you all long, but if you turn with me, if you have your Bibles with you, if you turn with me to Matthew's chapter, let me see, 6. We're going to Matthew's chapter 6. I've been on this particular passage of Scripture for the last several weeks. I do a morning Bible study every morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on Facebook Live, as well as my wife and I. We have a broadcast on Saturday mornings that's a live podcast out of Lanham, Maryland. And so I've been on this particular passage of Scripture for a couple of weeks now, even in my own service, only because it has just been a blessing to me. Amen. And everywhere I've been over the last couple of weeks, I've tried to make sure I get this word into the hearts of as many people as possible. I've read this Scripture time and time again, and when I say time and time again, up until, I don't know, for whatever reason God decided to bring me a different point of view of this particular passage of Scripture over the last couple of weeks, I don't know why, but I thank the Lord for it. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me this morning? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this opportunity just to share in your word, Heavenly Father, just to have fellowship this morning on this great Memorial Day weekend, Lord, as many are camping out, Heavenly Father, others are maybe on travel somewhere, Lord, wherever you find your people are today, Heavenly Father, we just pray a special blessing over their lives, over our military, Heavenly Father, that's abroad, as well as those who are here, for those who are lost, Heavenly Father, have lost their lives, and we're praying for their families, and for the family of those who still, Heavenly Father, have their loved ones active, Heavenly Father, or whatever the situation may be, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. We know if it had not been for them, Lord, we don't know where we would be as a country. And so we thank you right now. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the greatest freedom that you've ever given us, Heavenly Father, and that's your Son, Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for us, that we might be free spiritually, Heavenly Father. So many people are walking around free physically, but Heavenly Father, they are locked up spiritually, Heavenly Father. And so we pray right now, Lord, that that word would go and meet them right where they are, that they may, Heavenly Father, experience the spiritual freedoms that we do as well, Lord, as well as their physical freedoms, as well as for those who may be incarcerated, God, wherever they may find themselves this day. We pray, Lord, that your word would find, Heavenly Father, their hearts, and Lord, that they will, Heavenly Father, begin to experience the freedoms that you have given us as your Son died on the cross for us, raised on the third day, and now that we are free. We love you, thank you, and praise you. It's in Jesus' mighty master's name that I pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Matthew's chapter 6, you all. Very familiar passage of Scripture as we're going into it. We're going to read verses 31 through 34. 31 through 34. 31 through 34. Matthew's chapter 6. And for those who are joining us by Facebook Live, good morning to you as well. And thank you for joining in with us. So here it is. Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 34. And it says this. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen? And so I'm going to back up, and we're just going to kind of walk our way through this for a few minutes, you all. We won't be here long, but I just hopefully I can impart something into your heart, give you some words of encouragement. All of us are battling and dealing with different things in life each and every day. You know, it's a challenge to get through life. It seems like more and more, the older I get, I find more and more problems happening, and I find myself dealing with more and more issues of the day. And so with that being the case, I want to make sure that I'm fully equipped and thoroughly prepared for whatever it is that's going to come away. Now, I don't know everything that's going to happen, and neither do I pretend to. God knows everything that's going to happen. But the one thing that I do, you all, I try to make sure that I have the Word of God wrapped around my heart each and every day, guarding it, protecting it from the wiles of the devil, protecting me from the very things that I might do to even put myself in harm's way. And what do I mean that? A lot of times when we find ourselves confronted with issues and situations and circumstances, we begin to do things trying to help ourselves out, and sometimes we make the situation worse than what it was prior to us seeing it coming up. And so, one thing I love about God is that when we read His Word, it guards our heart. Amen. It protects us. It keeps us from continuing to dig ourselves deeper into... How many of y'all dug yourself into a ditch before? Amen. You saw something happening. You knew it was not a good situation. You did not want to deal with that situation. And so, therefore, you tried to work the situation out yourself and found yourself even in worse conditions than you were prior to you trying to dig yourself out. And so that's why it's so vitally important that I have the Word of God in my heart, wrapped around my heart, reading the Word of God, that I may stay encouraged, because God's Word keeps us at peace. Amen? Because a lot of times when you find yourself faced with the things that we find ourselves faced with today, life can be daunting. It can be challenging. A lot of times we find ourselves in valleys, looking up, trying to figure out how do we find ourselves in this condition, in this situation, and now how do we get out of it? Amen. And so, therefore, it is important that we read the Word of God. Matter of fact, as we were sitting here and I was listening to Brother Kevin, as he was giving the report about the cancer, and a lot of us were talking about the prayers for our family and our friends and things that are happening here on the campground all across the world, and we see how that ugly C word is really rampant and challenging life as a whole. There's a greater C word, bigger than that little C word, that we put our trust in each and every day. And that C word is Christ. Amen. Praise God. There's no greater name than that name in heaven or on earth. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is what? Lord. Amen. And so when we find ourselves faced, whether it's that little C word, which is cancer, or anything else in our life, and I'm not minimizing this, you all, I really am not, but what I am simply saying is that when we find ourselves faced with something that's talking about threatening our lives, oftentimes enough, we lose sight of what's most important in life, and we forget that there's a bigger C word over top of that little C word that has all power and authority, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when we get over here in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to make this as plain, as simple, and as short as possible. Won't keep you long. But I love what happens here in Matthew chapter 6. And so here it is. Jesus, He's on the Sermon on the Mount. This is what they call the Sermon on the Mount. And He's bringing the people of God to a place of understanding what the will of God is for our lives, and to empower us to live a different life, praise God, than the life in which they were living. Or a different life for you and I than the life we were living prior to us coming to know Jesus as Lord. And so with that, He says this, and it's interesting, y'all, because we look at it from a bird's eye view, or we look at it from an aerial view, or we look at it from a outside view looking in, and, you know, we can easily say some of the things that we're not faced with are things to just get over. But when you're in the midst of it, when you're in the thick of it, whatever your situation is, it's not always that easy situation. But this is what Jesus tells the people in verse 31. He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. And I'm going to stop right there for a second. And all of us know, and if you don't know, I'm going to bring it to your attention. When He talks about the Gentiles, He talks about everybody of all different cultures who do not know Jesus as Lord, who do not accept God as a part of their life. And so He identifies all those people as the Gentiles. Nothing wrong with them except for they just don't accept Jesus as Lord, or have not accepted Him as Lord for their lives. And so everybody else that are the children of God are just that, the children of God. But the ones who have not accepted him don't know him as their personal Lord and Savior. He identifies them as the Gentiles. And he says this. He says, don't worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. For after these things, everybody who don't know God, worry about that stuff. That's their problems. That's what they worry about. Now, don't get me wrong, because I know Christians all over the world worry about what they shall eat, what they shall drink, and what they shall wear. Because these are the basic essentials for life. These are things that we need. And people do need clothing. We do need that substance to keep us alive. We do need that drink. Amen. But here Jesus said, don't worry about that stuff. He says, for your father, he says, for after all these things, the Gentiles said, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Your daily essential, God already knows. And so some people say, well, you know, that's easy for you to say because you're not hungry. That's easy for you to say because you're not thirsty. That's easy for you to say because you got clothes on you, on your back. But what about us? And whether it's a Gentile or a child of God, people have these daily worries. But if you think about it, really seriously, if you think about it, as children of God, we don't have to worry about it. We really should not, especially when we come to understand who God is for our life. God will always make a way out of what? No way. God will always make provisions for us. You'll get a knock on your door. Somebody said, I was just thinking about you. And so I just wanted to drop this off for you. Or I have something for you. Here's some clothes. And even if we don't do that, you all, guess what? There are food banks. There are clothing banks. There are homeless shelters. No, none of us want to go there. None of us want to go to a food bank and get food. None of us want to go to a homeless shelter and stay the night. None of us want to go to a place to get the clothes that you normally would not go and get. But at the end of the day, these things are here available for us. Amen? They're not our concerns. They should not be our concerns. But this is what he said that's so powerful and profound. And I love this thing tremendously. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now listen to what he says next. And these things, all these things shall be added to you. Now we'll break this down for you in just a second. Because this is vitally important to our everyday living. You're talking about being equipped and being ready for everyday life. Being ready for everything that presents itself to you. So whether hunger presents itself to you, homelessness presents itself to you, joblessness presents itself to you, cancer presents itself to you, some other ailment or sickness presents itself to you, whatever it is, relationships go bad, whatever presents itself to you in the course of your everyday living, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, for a long time, I really did think the things that he was talking about that's going to be added to us was food, eat, and drink, and clothes. That's what I thought he was really talking about at that. But he really was not, you all. There's something far greater that you and I have need of that will help us in our everyday living. It's the kingdom of God. And so when I start looking into this, and I start researching this, and I start understanding what God was really talking about at this particular time, because people were not empowered at that time. Just as so many people today are not empowered in their lives to live life fully and to enjoy the life that Christ has given us. In fact, John 10:10 says this, and you all know this, for the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and what? Destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and have it, what? More abundantly. So Jesus has come that you and I might enjoy life. In the midst of everything that we're going through, in the midst of everything that we have to suffer, in the midst of everything that may present itself to us as a challenge, whether it be a health situation, a financial situation, a homelessness, a hunger, a relationship, whatever it is, he says, I've come that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly. God wants you and I to live without measure, to have joy in our hearts, that we may go out here in spite of what might be wrong, that we might not allow the wrongs to affect who we are and change the conditions of our living. God wants us to walk around with a smile. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be able to say hello to somebody. And even though they don't say hello back to you, that does not offend nor hurt you. Because what they do, we have no control over. What we do, we have all control over. And when we live a life empowered through Christ Jesus, guess who they see in our lives? Christ. They see that joy, the fruit of the Spirit. They see that love, that kindness, that long-suffering. They see that peace, which surpasses all other sin. People begin to become inquisitive about your life. Why is it that you smile in such dark and difficult days and times? Because I have the kingdom of God in my heart. Why is it that you just got fired and you didn't leave the job threatening to come back and do something to the people? Because the job is not my source, Christ Jesus is. The very job that I lost, God will replace with something greater. And I don't know, God might be bringing me to my own business. I don't know what God might be doing. God may see that I may need rest from that place. I thought I needed that place, but God knows I may need rest from that place. And so when I seek first the kingdom of God, there's some things that God's going to add to my life. Listen to this. I love this. In the kingdom of God, there's power, authority, and dominion. Rule. And when you break down the word dominion, it means to rule. It means the principles and the regulations that governs our behavior, our actions, and our conduct. So, when you're in the midst of a crisis and you have God's power reigning in your life, God's authority reigning in your life, and God's dominion reigning in your life, then guess what? Your behavior is not out of whack. Your actions are not all over the place. And your conduct is maintained because you're not allowing what's presenting itself to you to stop you from living a life full of joy and happiness. A life full of excitement and a positive outlook. See, when people don't have Christ in their life, when something goes wrong, the first thing they want to do is they want to make everybody feel their pain. But when Christ is in your life and something's going wrong, you want everybody to feel your joy. Because you're not allowing your pain to stop you from having that which Christ says you can have. And that's life, and it more abundantly. How do you not know that what you're going through, Christ will not use for his kingdom, that others may see you in the works of what you do and ask, what must they do to be what? Saved. God is so awesome. He is so powerful. And that's what I love about him. So when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, he's telling you to seek out his power because he's going to add that to your life. What is power? It's the ability to do. To do what? There's so many things that so many of us have to do that we would love to accomplish. I still, at 52 years old, I have a lot of goals. A lot of dreams. Some things I want to see happen in my life. And not only in my life, but in the life of my children. And in my family, in my wife's life. Not only in their life, things I want to see happen in your life. And I want to make sure that I have the ability as a child of God to impact that positively one way or another. Whatever it is that I have a dream for, I want to make sure that I can accomplish whatever that dream might be. And the only way that I can accomplish these things is through God's what? Power. Because if I trust in my own strength, my own power, there's a lot of things I'm just not going to get done, you all. I'm going to be honest with you. I have on the back of my door, as I'm going out of my house, as well as on my refrigerator when I go in that door, so I'm going out of one door, going into another, I have the same thing, I have a list of things posted on those doors that I remind myself of each and every day. Because it's so easy to forget these things about myself. And they're positive affirmation, things I want to encourage myself about, so that when I go out here in the world today, I'm not focused on those things, I'm focused on the positive affirmations. And what things I want to get done. And I tell people all the time about these things I want to accomplish in my life. But if I don't have Christ reigning richly in me, there's a lot of these things that will go undone. Because without him, it's impossible. But with him, all things are possible to those who what? Believe. And I don't know about you, but how many of y'all have some dreams and some goals and things you still want to accomplish in this life? I know I do. My gosh, I was talking to my wife on this morning. And we was watching the motorcycles. You know, it's Rolling Thunder. And so we was watching some of the motorcycles as they were starting to formulate and populate in certain areas. I said, hey, you still want to get your bike? She says, I sure do. Now, I had a bike. I sold it. I said, I want to get me another one, too. But I'm not going to get the regular bike. I'm going to get a Can-Am, a three-wheeler this time. She says, I want a three-wheeler, too. She has a motorcycle license. I do, too. But there's some things that we want to still yet do. But I need Christ's power to accomplish some of these things. Because that's what power is. Power is the ability to do. Amen. I want authority. I want God's authority in my life. I don't know about you, but that's permission to do. You know, nothing worse than having power but can't use it. Y'all understand that? Let me see how I can put this. As a deputy sheriff, I'm a deputy sheriff. Been a deputy sheriff for the past 28, 29 years. Six on one hand and a half a dozen on the other. But with that, underneath of the Commonwealth of Virginia, I have power. They've endowed me with power to keep the law. But if I don't have authority to execute that power, then what good is it to me? Jesus says this: if you believe in me and the things in which I do, ye also will do even greater things than these. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Ask anything in my name and it shall be done. That's authority. So not only do I have power in Christ, I have authority in Christ to get some things done in my life. Amen. And so with that being the case, I want to make sure that I'm living not only with power, but I'm living with authority. Because again, in my own self, there's a whole lot of things I would love to do, I just can't do. But in Christ Jesus, I can do all things. Because he what? Strengthens me. Now listen to this. And listen, you all, I'm a wordsmith. I love words. Amen. I wish I'd have loved words in high school. I probably would have been a valedictorian. Well, I'd probably be a lot further ahead than what I am now. But in my senior days, older days, I love words. So when I look at this, now through Christ, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you look up that word strengthens, it means to add to you. So whatever it is that you're missing in your life, through Christ, he will do what? Add it to you. So you can do the things that you need to do. Not only for his glory, but things that you want to do to enjoy the life that you are now living. You know, there's some days I wake up in the morning and I have my mind set on beating my son and my daughter in basketball. Now, that's based on the 18-year-old Todd, not 52. But I do want to be able to get up in the morning sometimes and shoot basketball with my son who's 21 and my daughter who's 22. And both of them play college basketball. And there's a grave difference between 52 and 22 and 21. In my mind, I see all these moves from when I was 18. But at 52, what I thought I could get moved in that certain direction, don't move like that anymore. We were yesterday at our family reunion. It's kind of funny, you all, because my cousin lives on her father's and her grandfather's land. And it's a big, beautiful piece of land in Tappahannock, Virginia. And as I was growing up, every summer or during holiday times, my mom would send me to Tappahannock to stay with my relatives down there. And so there were a number of houses on the land. And all this open land, and all my cousins, we would all get there, especially the guys, we'd all be down there between the three houses that was down there, two houses down there at the time. The two houses down there, we'd stand between the houses, and we would have our motorcycles, our mini bikes, and our go-karts. And there was a nice trailway paved out for us all up through the woods. I mean, it's acres of land, you all. And you could hear us coming, flying through there. We just ripping up through there. And when we finished that, we have our BB guns, and we're doing the illegal things, killing birds. We're doing everything we can, and you know, just being boys and growing up during that time. So yesterday, my cousin, who lives on the land, she got the pickup truck. She has a big Ford F-150. Matter of fact, she got two vehicles. She has a Ford F-150 and something else. And so all of our cousins, our younger cousins, who don't really know about that part of growing up from Baltimore, Jersey, Richmond, all these other places they were coming from, New York, and all this, who were never raised like that, never got a chance to experience. She put them in the back of the truck, the pickup, and we went riding all up through the property, way up in the woods, you know. And so I'm sitting in the back pickup with them, and I'm telling the young folks about how we grew up and all the good stuff back. I'm going somewhere. Ride with me for a second. So we're back there, and we're in a way in the back, you all. And I start to realize that I'm not this young guy I used to be when we used to rip and run up through these lands. And so we get to this one part of the property, and I'm telling you, you look down the road, and it's a road, it's a dirt road. You look down the dirt road, you all, and it's a hill that you drive that truck down. And my cousin looked at me. She says, y'all want to go? And I looked at that hill. Now, at 18, I'd have stood up in the back of that pickup, popped that top, and said, let's ride. At 52, I said, park that for a second. Let me get out. I said, let me walk the territory first. Let me see how bad this really is. And so this is a little fallen tree across the property. And the path you go down, there's hills on both sides of it. It's upgrade on both sides of it, whatever you want to call it. And there's a tree that's midway across it, and it's right across the middle of the glass, partway as you start to go down. I said, well, we can't go down the tree. She said, we got an F-150. We'll move that. I said, well, let me walk first. Let me walk down the road a little bit. Let me start going down this. I mean, when I tell y'all, it's like a roller coaster hill. Seriously. I'm not exaggerating. But they use this because, you know, they do all the farming still back there, all the corn. And I mean, deep valley, you are. I'm going someplace. Because I need God. And I need the kingdom of God in my life for several reasons. I need to be able to make the right decision at 52 that I would not have made at 18. I need God's wisdom to permeate my heart, because at 18, I'd have been standing up in the back of that pickup, smacking the roof of that truck. Woo! Let's ride! We're going! Let's get on there, have a head onto the truck. You have no fear. At 18 and 17 and 16 and 15 and all that other stuff. At 52, you're like, wait! Let me get in the cab of the truck and put my seatbelt on. But I got the truck. The truck is full of kids in the back and some adults, some in the front seat. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go down here and look at this for a second and look at the terrain and make sure that this thing is safe. Whether y'all want to go, I love the Lord, but I don't want to go there just yet. I want to enjoy some of this abundance, you all. And so, you know, I got there and I walked in that thing a little bit. I said, hey, we're not going to make it. No, back it up. Take the truck on back. They said, are you sure? I said, well, I'm not going to make it. Praise God. If y'all want to go down that thing, I'm not going to. I even had the wherewithal to move the tree. I really did. I was able to move the tree from across the road. It was from one embankment to the other, crossing the roadway. And I was able to muster up enough strength to push that tree to the side. It wasn't a big tree, but enough to muster it and put it out the way and put it on the side. I said, I can't do this. I said, y'all can't do this. My conscience was messed up. Something happened to somebody. Let's back it up. And so we backed up and we went through. But my whole point in all of that, you all, I need the kingdom of God in my life so that not only do I have power and authority, because see, that power I'm talking to you all about, that power restrains me from making bad decisions. Decisions that I was young. Now, if I was younger on my little motorcycle, I looked at this thing like, oh yeah, we taking this, y'all. Let's go, fellas. You know, we dirt biking across the thing. We flying all through there. We might hit, roll, get up, get back on the bike, couple of scratches, a concussion, and some other stuff. And we ride the bike on back home. Ain't nothing ever happened. I can't even walk down that hill and trip and roll. And I will lay out there in that mud until somebody come get me at 52. But that's where we are. We need God's kingdom reigning in our hearts so that we have power, we have authority, and we have the rule of God in our life, the very principles, precepts, oracles, the things that govern us, so that our decision making, our behavior, and our conduct is as such that we represent who Christ Jesus is. And nothing more, nothing less. Because everybody's not going to like everybody. And you could be the sweetest person in the world, but everybody's not going to be your friend. And some people are going to say some things to you that's going to hurt your feelings. And you got to maintain your conduct. it's easy to get out here and do what you feel like doing, get some get back, some satisfaction, you know. And I always tell these stories. I always use these things because they're common to us, you all. But this is how powerful, and I'm going to close in a minute. But this is how much we need God's kingdom in our heart. For the simplest of things. I talk about this all the time, everywhere I go. Because all of you all in here can relate to it. Every last one of you all. What I'm about to say, you all can identify either that you've done it or somebody else you know have done it. But this is why we need to tell somebody, I need the power of God reigning in my life. I'm going to tell you why you need that, which is the kingdom of God. And you need the authority to execute that power. And you need his rule, his dominion in your life, because you can't control nobody else, but you can control who? Yourself. All right, so I'm going to take y'all somewhere that I know all of y'all, if not the majority of y'all, have done, said, or thought as it relates to everyday life. And this is why it's so important, because these things affect us the most. You would think they said, well, you think, North Korea has just sent another ballistic missile test, and they're getting long-range missiles in place because they're trying to reach our country. Although it's walking around like, and no big thing. Because we have a superpower, a country that we know that can pretty much defend us. We might take a little hit here or there, somewhere in Guam or some of those other little places that we have our troops, and we don't want that to happen, but we can kind of deal with that. But let somebody get in Walmart grocery line, 15 or less, with 20 items. And now we got war. Y'all laughing because you don't tell the truth? Because you want to know, why is this individual in front of you as you count their basket? And you're looking at them. And you keep looking at the sign like it's going to change. And you look at them while they're not looking at you as though they're going to get out your way and they can read your mind. And you hide as a firecracker. Man, burn up, even talking to yourself. I can't believe this. This person got 25 items in a 15 item or less line. And somebody, don't let nobody get behind you. Can you believe? Because you're so important in life that what you have to get done is greater than the person that's in front of you. Or, don't hold a door for somebody and they don't say thank you. In your mind, I'll never hold a door for another person again. Or, you have them come in front of you on 95, Route 3, 20 going up, wherever it is you might find yourself, 17. You wait for them to throw a nice hand up like this. But they don't. So you know what you're gonna do next, right? You step on the gas or cut up the next lane. You about the car behind you, just cut off. Get the next lane beside you. Man. Wanna say something to them, don't you? And in your mind, you're talking about you no good, unthankful, ungrateful, son of a gun. I should have never let you in. But do you all see how bothered we get by the simple things? This is why it's so important that the kingdom of God is in our heart, because we're destroyed by, Jesus said it best. He says, it's the small foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things in our lives, you all, that destroys us. We can hear it now. President Trump is sending 35,000 more troops overseas. We're like, oh man, I don't like that. Then all of a sudden, something small happened around the house. You done lost your mind. Wife didn't cook the right amount of bacon this morning. I can't believe it. She knows I like 5 pieces. And we got 3, but that's all that was left in the refrigerator. Y'all see how simple things destroy us, and this is why God says, stop worrying about this other stuff. Because the righteousness of God is the right relationship. So that there's only 3 pieces of bacon in the house. And she flipped the dog a piece. And you looking at him like he ain't paid for nothing. But he get one of my pieces. Now, you, in the kingdom of God, when it's raining in your heart, you, those things don't bother you. You're thankful. You're thankful the dog got a piece. You're thankful your wife cooked it. You're just thankful. You're thankful to get up every morning just to see another day. You're thankful. That's how the kingdom of God works in our lives, you all. This is why God says, seek this first. Early in the morning when you get up, you should be praying and thanking God. You all got to shut down right here. I can talk about this all day long. Because it's the small things that destroys us. And we need God working in our lives, you all. We do. Because I don't know how long some of y'all will be down here at the campground. Some of y'all may be here till tomorrow. And God knows, don't go to the little store right here. They don't have the extra little pack of ham. Because the person in front of you just got it before you did. They know you need like ham sandwiches. That person knew I needed ham before they did. See, I used to camp out all the time. We used to be at Indian Acres all the time. Right down at Thornburg. I camper laid out and everything. We tried to get that little general store before everybody else did. We wanted ham and eggs. If it ain't that store, now you got, God knows you got to leave the campground and go to the convenience store up the street in that nice car you got that brought you down here. God knows you got to try it somewhere because a lot of us don't. This is why the kingdom of God, the power of God needs to be working in our what? Lives. Tell your neighbor again, I need the kingdom of God working in my life. Because I bet you some of y'all got up this morning just as mean as a tadpole. Here's the last piece and I'm done. I always tell my church this too. And this one, y'all can have this for free. How many of y'all woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Come on, be honest. How many of y'all woke up grouchy, tired, frustrated? Okay, so let me have this. How many of y'all have ever woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Okay, I'm done with this right here. I'm done. The next time you wake up on the wrong side of bed, I want you to pull back that fitted sheet and see if it says stamp wrong side of the bed. I promise you this ain't Posopedic, Sealy, Firm, Pillow Top, King, Queen, Twin. Where is your sleeping? But I promise you, it'll never say what? Wrong side of the bed. This is why we need the kingdom of God reigning where? In our hearts. So no matter if you rolled over to the right side of the bed or to the left side of the bed, you got up this morning. That's enough to be thankful for. Amen. And that our hearts and our minds should be in the right place when we get up just to enjoy another day because God didn't have to allow us to see another day. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Last time, say your neighbor, I need the kingdom of God reigning in my heart. Amen. Praise God, brother.